Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a brand new Healthline 3, where we love to focus on ways to live a better, healthier, and a pain-free life. Now, in about 10 minutes from now, we're going to be opening up our phone lines and taking your calls and questions. So get ready, get those questions ready, and give us a call here in about 10 minutes, 318-219-4569. And today, we're very excited to have Dr. Robert Goodman, board-certified rheumatologist at the Arthritis and Rheumatology Clinic of Shreveport, as our featured guest today on Healthline 3. Dr. Goodman, great to see you again, sir.
Glad to be here.
And it is always our pleasure. You are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all things arthritis, rheumatology, but today's topic is gout.
Well, gout is one of those diseases that some people that are susceptible to gout, they can be eating the rich foods of the holiday season, maybe a little bit of alcohol, and that could trigger them to get a gout attack. So it's good to talk about it in the Christmas and holiday season.
It is, especially when you talk about people will be indulging in many of these foods and drinks maybe today, but very soon with this weekend being
that's right,
right around the
corner. Christmas parties
there.
And family gatherings are certainly one of those, several of those times we'll have several opportunities to, if we are close to having a gout attack, to trigger that attack. And so want the viewers to know a little bit about it.
Yeah, and we're going to dive into that. We're also going to be taking your calls, as I mentioned. Now, Dr. Goodman, we're going to be tackling exactly what gout is. That's going to be my first question here in a second. But also, too, I mentioned to get your questions ready. Here in about 7 minutes or so, we'll be opening up those phone lines. So think about what you want to ask, Dr. Goodman, and we'll jump right into it, sir. What exactly is gout?
Well, gout, Nate, is a disease that has been described for more than 2,000 years by ancient physicians. It was described, as we discussed in the tease, by Hippocrates. He gave a very good description of gout, and it was in affluent men in ancient Greece and ancient Athens, and maybe they had been eating a lot of seafood, a lot of shellfish, maybe drinking some alcohol, some wine, and red meats, and they would go to bed feeling perfectly fine, and then they would wake up about 5 or 6 hours later in 4 or 5 in the morning, and it was as if a drop of poison had been put on their big toe, and they would have, in a matter of 5 or 6 hours, an explosive onset of an inflamed, red, big, and very painful great toe.
Wow. Is it just the toe, the whole foot, or?
Well, the toe, the great toe, the big toe, is sort of a classic, but there are other areas that gout can attack as well. The arch of the foot, the knee, and sometimes in the hands. It really attacks areas, the cooler areas of our body. So it doesn't attack our shoulder and hip joints as much as more peripheral joints.
Okay. Is it all brought on by food and drink, or can you possibly get gout because you walk several miles a day in bad shoes or something like that?
Well, not so much the walking. That would be more the wear and tear type of arthritis known as osteoarthritis. In gout, some of us, and it's mostly us men, will tend to have, when we metabolize a group of chemicals that are in foods called purines, we will metabolize those and create uric acid. And for everyone creates some uric acid in our metabolism and digestion of food, but some of us, our uric acid levels are hovering close to what a chemist would say is the saturation point for urate crystals to form. And so if a person is hovering just under the level where uric acid crystals come out of solution and form crystals, those patients would get an explosive onset of a gout attack. And in most of the labs nationwide in the United States, that uric acid level is 8. So if somebody has a uric acid of 7.5, 7.8 because they're a guy, and then they go into the Christmas season, have the alcohol, the food, and then they push their uric acid up to 8.2 or 8.5, then that uric acid could precipitate out of solution, and the saturation point of uric acid is exceeded, and a person would get a gout attack. Usually in cooler areas of our body, and our big toe might be 3 or 4 degrees cooler than our hip or shoulder joint. So that's where those gout attacks will precipitate.
Wow, interesting. There's so much to this, from the food and the drink and the temperature of your body. That's interesting. So who would you say, well, first off, let me ask you this. You brought up kind of tracking that, you said it was acid?
It's a specific weak acid called uric acid.
Okay.
Uric acid is a molecule that us doctors would have to learn in organic chemistry, and it's called urate when it's the negatively charged organic molecule, and it can couple with a hydrogen ion, which is an acid, a weak acid, and at uric acid level of about 8.3 or 8.5, the positively charged hydrogen ion and the negatively charged urate molecule get together and exceed the saturation point, and they form crystals. And these crystals are about the size of our white blood cells. And so those crystals, it'll be like if you imagine on Star Wars when Scotty beams somebody up and they just materialize in the transporter beam, if you and I were white blood cells sitting in your big toe, all of a sudden a spear that would be 6 feet long would have points at each end would just start developing in the big toe. And we as white blood cells would react to it as if it's a bacteria or a virus, and we then engulf these white blood cells. We spill our proteins, our poisons on them as if they are staph or strep bacteria, but they're not. They're inanimate uric acid crystals. And so the inflammatory response just gets overwhelming, and waves of white blood cells are attacking these crystals, and they're not making any headway. And that precipitates or triggers this gout attack.
That's why I love having you as a guest, Dr. Goodman. You always make it so easy to understand, busting out some Star Trek references.
That's right.
Yes, I need all the help I can get. But that is so fascinating. Let's talk, breaking down who gets gout. You mentioned that more men typically get it than women.
That's right, because us guys tend to have our uric acid levels hovering closer to that saturation point. The ladies tend not so much, but women will start to catch up, though they don't quite catch up as they get beyond menopause.
Now, what about age? Is someone at 20, 30 years old, or age?
It's a little bit increased as we go through the decades, but there are some people that have certain inborn errors of metabolism, is what they would teach us in medical school, where they can have high uric acid levels in their 20s. And so they might be getting gout attacks. They might be getting collections of gout under the skin that is called a gouty tophus, which is also a Latin term. They might also get gout uric acid crystals to collect in the collecting tubules of our kidneys, where our kidneys drain into our bladder. When that occurs, that's a kidney stone. So uric acid can not only cause gout in our big toe, cause collections of urate to occur under the skin, which we call gouty tophus, but can also cause a very painful kidney stone. And it's probably tied with calcium stones as the two most common types of kidney stones that our urology colleagues deal with every day.
That uric acid?
Uric acid.
Uric acid, excuse me, okay. That sounds awful to begin with. So what are folks supposed to do? Or is there a way to monitor that? Is that something that people do?
Well, doctors in general and rheumatologists in particular have a lot of ways to help patients with gout. And it kind of divides into two things. First of all, when you have that acute gout attack, that is like almost a medical emergency. There will be people going into urgent care clinics throughout the next few weeks. They will be going to emergency rooms with that big swollen toe, and they wonder, did I break my foot in the middle of the night by hitting it on the bedpost? Do I have a bad ingrown toenail or something like that? They go to the emergency room, the uric acid is 9 or 10, the emergency room doctor doesn't see any evidence of anything else, and they conclude that it's a gout attack. The emergency room doctor will then put the patient on powerful anti-inflammatory medicines. So his goal right then is to get rid of the inflammation because it hurts. You want it fixed as ASAP. The emergency room doctor might use shots of powerful anti-inflammatories called steroids. They might give you a medicine that Hippocrates used from the bark of the autumn crocus. That medicine is called colchicine, and they would give that to patients. And they would also might also use the classic non-steroidal anti-inflammatories that patients can get over the counter, like ibuprofen, naproxen sodium, and even aspirin itself. But once that initial gout attack is over with, then we go into a phase of, can we prevent that from happening again? Can we keep that? I don't want to ever feel that pain back again. And so then we would go into the prevention phase, and that is not so much geared with the acute inflammation that's happening that day, but it is lowering that uric acid level. So the next time you maybe, as you go to St. Patrick's Day, your uric acid level has been pushed down to a better level. So if you drink a little bit of alcohol in the spring season, that, or if you start eating crawfish or oysters as we get into the spring months in Louisiana, that we would have some wiggle room and maybe not precipitate a gout attack. That would encompass drinking more water, which is sort of a no-brainer. If you have certain foods that you like that are contributing to your gout, we would advocate diet. And then there are medicines that can push that uric acid level down. And those medicines would be taken, and they're not gonna help a gout attack that you're having today, but they're gonna present, if you start those medicines, they would prevent a gout attack that might happen in February or March.
Wow, fantastic. All right, it is officially past the time now. We are opening up the phone lines to you. So if you got a question about gout, having some issues there, or just questions about maybe you have gout or not, give us a call right now, 318-219-4569, to talk to Dr. Goodman and get those questions answered completely free of charge. So those phone lines are open. Give us a call right now. We're going to turn them off here at about 12:27, so now is the time to give us a call. Dr. Goodman, you were mentioning too, once you're officially kind of on the radar when it comes to dealing with gout, does it get easier to treat, harder to treat? Do you get gout more often?
Well, some people can get gout attacks closer and closer and closer together, and so those patients are saying, I'm going to do anything that I can to prevent the next gout attack. There are medicines that can lower the uric acid level to help that. One of those medicines that is commonly used is called allopurinol. Another medicine that is also used is called febuxostat. And then those medicines can not only, they can, if they lower the uric acid level from, say, 8.5 to 5.5, then all of a sudden, we will leach out, if you will, that buildup of uric acid that is in our soft tissues, that are in those gouty tophi, that are around the joints, or maybe even the kidney stones, so that as these medicines push the uric acid metabolism in a slightly different direction, then our gout load, our gout debt, if you will, is smaller and smaller as each month goes by. And a person might early on be having a gout attack a month or a gout attack every 2 weeks, and then they are put on these medicines, and maybe in the second quarter of the year after they've been on them, they get a gout attack once a quarter, and then maybe a year later they said, gee, I haven't had another gout attack in over a year.
Wow, and that's what it's all about, living pain-free. That's why we are addressing this today. Well, we do have our first caller on the line. I believe we have Ricky.
Hello, Ricky.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Ricky, what's your question for Dr. Goodman?
Yes, I haven't got to my big toe. Will it travel to your hand? Can it travel? Do gout travel?
Can gout travel to your hand? And the answer is yes, Ricky. It it tends to occur in our big toe because it is a cooler area of the body. And chemists will know that if you took any salt in general, and uric acid is a salt or sodium chloride is a salt, and you put them in an ice bath in high school chemistry or college chemistry, that more salts will come out of solution. If you warm that solution up with a Bunsen burner, then more uric acid will go back into solution. And what that says, Ricky, is if the temperature of your big toe at 5 in the morning is 95 degrees and the temperature of your finger is 96 degrees and the temperature of your earlobe is 95 or 96 degrees, but the temperature of your shoulder joint mm-hmm. or your hip joint is 99, those are places, those cooler places of our body are where you can get a gout attack. So the number one place is the big toe, but the arch of the foot is a close second. The knee is also there, and you can get gout attacks, and you can get collections of gout like I was describing, Ricky. Those gouty tophi can also occur in your fingers, and people can get gouty tophi in bursas on their elbows, and sometimes those collections of gout are the size of a ping pong ball or the size of a golf ball that are the gouty tophi. People can actually get small gouty tophi on their ears, which is a little bit cooler than the rest of the body. So the hands can certainly be involved, Rick, and thanks for your call.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ricky. And great answer there. We were talking so much about the toe, kind of forgot that, yes, that can actually travel around the body. So pretty fascinating. Well, reminder, too, those phone lines are open right now, 318-219-4569. If you get a question for Dr. Goodman about gout, that's what we're addressing. So just to, I tell you what, I was going to ask you something else, but this is about you and getting you answers today about gout. And we have Lisa, our next caller, on the line.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi. My question is, would the big toe look different when it's not flaring up, or does it go back to looking like everybody else's toe?
Early on in the process, it can go back to looking like everybody else's toe, Lisa, and that's a great question. But gradually, after those, if you have 3 or 4 or 5 gout attacks, then the great toe will, underneath the skin will be these collections of gouty tophi or tophus. Tophus is one, and tophi are more than one in this Latin-derived description. And a gouty tophi will just underneath the skin, it will look kind of a yellowish color. And if the gouty tophi were to break out to the surface of the skin, it would look like kind of a yellowish toothpaste. The doctor might then take a sample of it, look under the microscope, and say, Nate, these are gout crystals.
Wow, fascinating.
So that is, thanks for that call. Any other questions, Thank Lisa?
Well, let's see. So it can be in your hands, it can be in different places. Can it be in more than one place at once? Can it, like,
yes, it can.
Wrap your toe in your hand?
And it can be what that is called polyarticular gout. Poly meaning many, articular meaning many joints evolved at one time or almost at the same time. The classic diseases that cause inflammation in many joints at the same time is rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis that we've discussed in other healthcare segments. But gout can affect more than one joint at a time. Usually, early in the stages, it'll be just one joint. But then if it's left untreated, it could be 2 at a time or 3 at a time or 5 at a time. Some people can have a large number of gout joints involved at the same time. And even seasoned rheumatologists could have a hard time initially discerning, is this gout or is it rheumatoid arthritis? But usually, with modern techniques, modern lab tests, we're able to tell the difference. But thanks for that call, Lisa. That allows, I think, a lot of other viewers to kind of get a flavor of what we're talking about.
Yeah, great question, Lisa. Dr. Goodman, when should people see the doctor? I'm sure that some people may experience gout, not know what it is. Where's that line in the sand where they're like...
For the person who has the bad gout attack, they're going to say, it doesn't matter what they've got to do that day. They're going to say, I got to go to the emergency room. I'm going to go to the walk-in clinic. And they can't even put on their shoe. They the bed sheets even hurt their big toe. So they're going to be going to get the get that acute thing treated. But then once the acute episode of gout is over with, they may be going to their primary care doctor. How can I prevent it? And everyone has a little bit different threshold. Mm-hmm. But if you're getting gout attacks closer and closer and closer together, you don't need me to tell you when to go.
You're saying I got to get this fixed. But hey, he is the guy to talk to.
Yeah.
And we got our next caller on the line, Mac.
Hello, hey. Mac.
Yeah, he asked, someone already asked about the elbow, and I had a situation with my elbow. I had gout before my big toe. But my question is, can you do something like, I had a prescription, can you do something like drink, like black cherry juice or something to get rid of that acid?
I'm sorry, I didn't, I heard part of that was the elbow, but...
Can you drink stuff like black cherry juice?
Black cherry juice and some of those remedies are helpful, and they tip the uric acid levels to be in a little bit lower. Drinking plenty of water can also be very helpful, going on a low uric acid diet. And if alcohol is an important part of your life, then you would be curtailing that as well. So there are those non-medical ways to help with a healthier lifestyle. And by the way, a lot of those things are going to make your cardiologist be happy because your cholesterol is going to go down. A lot of those measures are going to make your endocrinologist happy because your blood sugars are going to get better. And a lot of those measures are going to make your nephrologist happy because your kidneys are going to function a little bit better as well. But those are certainly certain measures that you can take yourself to try to make your life better. However, a lot of people can't quite get there. Maybe their uric acid is too high, and even as hard as they work on their diet, as hard as they drink plenty of water and modify their lifestyle, they still get gout attacks. And those are patients that might be coming to the rheumatologist or coming to the primary care doctor to get some of those uric acid lowering drugs. We talked about them with Nate earlier in our webcast, and that was medicines like something called allopurinol and some a medication that used to be called Yaloric and is now called febuxostat that has now gone generic. These medicines, by the way, have now dropped to under $10 on most everyone's health plan. So we're talking about generic medicines that are helpful in preventing the next gout attack.
Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks. And let me expand on his part of his question that I didn't get back around to. He said he had gout on his elbows. Mm-hmm. And Nate, on our elbows, we have bursas. And in Latin, a bursa is a sac or sac-like structure. And in anatomy, there are bursas where tendons have to go around corners. Elbows have bursas, shoulders, knees, hips all have bursas. And on the elbow, gout uric acid crystals can build up, and they're the ones that can be the size of a ping pong ball filling up the olecranon bursa and be an easy way to diagnose gout.
Uric acid sounds awful, by the way, Dr. Goodman. So, yes, let's got to keep that under control. We already got our next caller on the line, Linda.
Hello, Linda.
I think we have Linda. Linda, you still there? If not, got a couple minutes left here. And Linda Walker, we still have Linda on the call?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Linda.
Yes.
Hello, Linda.
Hi. my first bout with gout, I woke up one morning, my big toe was swollen, and my other toes looked like little balloons. And I was in awful pain.
And Linda, it sounds like you're describing a classic onset of gout. Did you have some other?
That was my first time ever having it.
Yeah, the first time having it. Women tend to get it as they get beyond menopause. There are some women that get it earlier, but it tends to happen for you ladies. Don't tend to get gout as often as Nate and I would be at risk for getting it. Do you have a question?
Yes. I know you mentioned the medications for it, like allopurinol. That's what I was given for mine.
That's right.
Of course, I have kidney problems, and my doctor took me off of it.
You have kidney problems, did you say?
Yes, and my doctor took me off of allopurinol.
I'm
thankful I haven't had a problem in a while.
And so the decision on whether to go back on allopurinol or whether to go to some of the other measures that we have to prevent the next gout attack is a complicated one, because don't know when, and neither do I or anybody else know when you get the next gout attack. But that's exactly
right.
What rheumatologists do. We evaluate those kinds of a bit more complicated situations. If your primary care doctor says, hey, I don't like you taking the allopurinol, we need to find another alternative, we rheumatologists have additional options that we can always explore to try to help you to and assess what is your risk for getting that next gout attack or the next other complication of gout, number one. And number two, what are some avenues to get around the issue that you may have had with allopurinol.
Well, Linda, thank you so much for your call. We do appreciate that.
Thanks, Linda.
Yeah, and Dr. Goodman, too, that kind of brings me to my next question, one that we ask quite frequently, no matter the topic on Healthline, is it treated or is it covered by insurance when it comes to dealing with the symptoms of gout? Is this something that, you know, Medicare will cover, or people's insurance?
Oh, absolutely. Gout is just sort of a straight center of the road rheumatic disease. And there are a lot of generic options to treat gout patients. In fact, of all the diseases that we talk about in Healthline 3 for rheumatology, it probably has the most generic tools. You can treat it with medications that cost most people under $10.
Wow.
And it's covered on most everyone's insurance. And then you can also use medications that are generic to try to help get rid of the gout attack as well. So it is very well covered by insurance.
And to go back to ways to prevent it, too, that diet is huge, keeping that uric acid low. And that is so fascinating how those two go hand in hand, especially with the Christmas season here, watching what you eat, and especially with the alcohol. Dr. Goodman, we took so many phone calls today. A big thanks to everybody that gave us a call. But I know a lot of people were watching today, didn't get a chance to call in for whatever reason, but they can always find you. And are you taking patients at this time, and how should they get a hold of you?
Yes, I am. And I'm in Shreveport, and my office phone number is 318-424-9240. That's in Shreveport, 424-9240. I am at arthdoc.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/arthdoc. My office is at 740 Jordan's, close to the intersection of I-49 and I-20, right in downtown.
And this, in addition to everything we discussed today for gout, you are the pro, arthritis, rheumatology, and I'm sure you can help people out no matter what that is. Yes. Well, we certainly appreciate you, Dr. Goodman, no doubt about that. Dr. Goodman is a familiar face here on Healthline 3, so make sure you stay tuned for more future segments. And, any big plans for 2024 for you, Dr. Goodman?
Not any big plans right now off the top of my head, but we're having family come into town. And how about you, Nate?
Same old, same old. Same as you, just going to enjoy some family time and things like that. But
putting together some kids' toys, or are you
yes.
going to leave that up to Santa?
It's completely Santa's job.
Okay.
But yes, the frustration level will be going up, and judging about how I put together children's toys. I may be developing arthritis at a sooner age than normal, so I may be seeing you. Dr. Goodman, we appreciate you so much, and we wish you and your family the very best New Year and Merry Christmas, sir.
Thank you.